Almost live from a very cool corner of Midtown Sacramento, it's the Nate Darling Show, featuring Mel Gelbart and Larry Mead. Now, from one end of his cheap IKEA couch, here's Nate.
Maybe slightly toward the middle, but it is indeed one end of the cheap IKEA couch. Welcome back to another episode of the Nate Darling Show. With me, as always, is my friend Mel.
Howdy.
Larry, however, not in the hizzy tonight.
Nope.
Larry is in the air as we're recording this on his way to España.
Ole.
So sitting in for Larry is our friend Nick Pettigrew. Hello, Nick. Check in.
Hello, everybody.
It's funny because we've talked about Nick, but Nick's never been here when we've talked about him. Now we can't talk about him. We have to talk at him.
You still talk about me.
Okay.
It's true. We're going to. So that's exciting to have you here. Welcome. And thanks for friendly. Don't wave.
I keep waving.
Mel still does that.
Yeah. I did one of those too last week, and with my hands. And Nate's like, no one can see you. And I forgot.
Yeah, I will. Like improv, I will call you out.
That's fine.
If you're doing stuff that no one can see. So we got a lot to get to this week. We're gonna do a little. Got a little naked aggression to talk about.
Story of my life.
Yeah, it's a fantastic story. We'll be doing Cooler Tool. We're talking about Time's Person of the Year, some of our favorite TV shows and such. Of course, Small Town News coming up. That's always a good time. First off, I want to thank our sponsors, and they're our sponsors because they give us a lot of the equipment that we use to do the show. It's Huge Entertainment.
Huge.
They do DJ, they wedding DJ, events, and all sorts of other stuff.
Bar mitzvahs.
Sure, or bat mitzvah, or just a party. They did the big gay celebration at 20th and K. Yeah, that's where it was.
Yeah.
So, for any event you have, check out Huge Entertainment. You can hit their link up on our website, natedarlingshow.com. And you can also get the podcast on the Stitcher app, which it's blowing up in popularity, Mel. Blowing up.
Really? People love their Stitcher.
They do. There are at least a dozen people who have loved their Stitcher app so far. It's new, so that's fine.
Can you read the formal Stitcher lead-in thing that I love that when you do that?
Well, I'm getting to that.
Okay, I love this part.
I'm getting to that, but I just wanted to say thank you to I'm one of them. So to the four other people who have favorited our show on Stitcher.
Awesome.
Thank you so much. We really do appreciate it. And you can hear our show and a bunch of other shows on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, or Palm phones. Who the fuck has a Palm phone?
I don't even know what a Palm phone is.
Mostly old people, I think.
Well, my dad has a jitterbug, but I know you can't get Stitcher on your jitterbug phone. So it's on demand and on the go. Don't have Stitcher downloaded for free at Stitcher.com or any app store. Stitcher Smart Radio, it is the smarter way to listen to the radio. And you can also hit the link on our webpage. Mel, what's our webpage?
NateDarlingShow.com.
Also, periodically, we like to interact with our listeners. So if you've got questions for us, email for us, go ahead and send that to us at NateDarlingShow at
RocketMail.com.
RocketMail.
I love Rocket Mail because it sounds dirty.
Wow.
Rocket Mail. Rocket.
Mel's going a little crazy already.
I'm a little overtired.
There's a lot of that going around this room right now. So that's fine. So Mel, tell us, how was your birthday?
My birthday was amazing. It was super fun. I cleaned up on great gifts. Paul was amazingly wonderful and chipper and fun and in as good of a mood as I was, which made it extra more fun. And we went to San Francisco. I got a new iPod. I got a Kindle. I got new awesome flannel pajamas.
Wow.
Which I really love because they're pink. And
are there any designs on these pajamas?
They're plaid, pink, and gray on the bottom and gray top with pink stitching. And they're super duper cute. And they have the buttons are gray with little pink stripes. And that's my favorite part. And I got a bamboo cutting board, a huge, large bamboo cutting board.
Wow.
And I got about 40 Kit Kat bars because I like Kit Kats. And they were in a box hiding the Kindle. So I didn't realize I'd gotten a Kindle. And then Paul was like, is there anything else besides Kit Kats in there, sweetie? And I was like, nope, just Kit Kats. He's like, no, I packed the box there, dum-dum. I was like, oh, right. So then I got a Kindle. And then we went to San Francisco and we walked around the city and we went to my favorite restaurant, Roy's, and had a delicious dinner and Green Bay one, which made it even better. And we saw my friend Jenny and I had truffle mac and cheese. And I got a dollar in the shape of a ring that I wore. And I bought myself a new refrigerator because mine finally did shit out.
Yes, if you're following the saga of Mel's fridge, it did go the way of the dodo.
But I will reiterate that Phil from A&J was nothing if not amazing about everything. And he actually refunded everything, every penny I paid to him, not just for the parts, but for his two service calls because he felt bad that he couldn't fix the problem. So he's amazing. And I don't change that opinion in any way just because he couldn't fix the problem. He was really honest about it. He said that it might be fixable, but it was probably going to be more than a new refrigerator, which I tend to believe him. So I just got a new one. It comes tomorrow.
Oh, so you've been living the life of the Amish then?
Yeah. Well, you know, I already do. As you guys know, I don't eat in my house, and I don't have any food in my house for the most part. I have pop and beer and some cheese and condiments mostly. I eat out, and I eat like fruits and vegetables and non-prepared stuff that doesn't really need refrigerated. I had more ice cream and butter really in my fridge than anything lately, and cheese. But I haven't been home. You know, I've been gone for my birthday. So I was at Paul's and I was in San Francisco. So I haven't really noticed. But I thought it was very cute that Phil from A&J did actually take a lot of my groceries to my neighbors when he realized that the fridge was going to do nothing but get warmer and warmer. He took stuff to the neighbors for me, which I thought was hilarious because he was at my house when I wasn't there.
Oh, he let himself in.
Yeah, but we're like close now. No, my neighbors let him in.
Oh,
my neighbors let him in because I was already gone for my birthday weekend.
Mm, very good.
Yeah, so it was a wonderful weekend, and Paul was awesome. So shout out to the best boyfriend in the whole wide world, because he rocks ass.
That's for you, Paul.
And he still can't listen to the show, because his computer is still, his Apple iTunes is still messed up, and he has been screaming at them every week and telling them that he needs to listen to the Nate Darling Show, which I think is really funny.
That is funny. Does he have a mobile phone? Because he could listen on the Stitcher app.
Yeah, if he downloads it.
He has the same phone I have.
Oh, So basically he might as well have a jitterbug like my dad.
Yep.
Okay, good. now that we've covered that, Nick Pettigrew.
What's up?
Sign in, please.
I'm here. I'm sorry. My coworker gave me 2 Vicodin earlier, so I'm a little loopy, but I'm fine.
Why did you need Vicodin? What's wrong with you?
My neck hurt.
Oh.
So, anyways, it's unrelated.
So you're not doing shtick. You actually are medicated.
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay.
Awesome.
Now I want to clear something up. Now, you do a special show every month at the Sacramento Comedy Spot, correct?
Every other month, yeah.
Every other month. And because comedians aren't necessarily the best at planning ahead, Nick just did his last show about 4 days before we were taping the podcast, right?
Yes,
last Friday. Okay. So for those of us who haven't been, I've heard a lot of great things about the show. But I have not been. Explain to us, Nick. What goes on? What is it called, first of all?
The show is called Critical Hit, which is very witty for geeks. relates to Star Trek.
Don't get distracted. Just keep going.
It relates to Dungeons and Dragons. If you roll a 20, it's technically a critical hit. You do maximum damage. Anyways, the concept is basically I wanted to do a geek comedy show that would allow me to do the kind of stuff that I don't do in stand-up or improv. You don't get a lot of opportunities to have red shirts, like in Star Trek, do stand-up, or mummies, or have a robot who wants to kill humanity, and then you don't get to do any of that, generally. So it's nice
That's true. That's a good
have
point.
A show
yeah.
where I can do all that stuff, and I can make sketches, and the Comedy Spot's been great letting us run it there. But that's pretty much it, is it's a comedy show with a lot of references to stuff that most people don't understand.
I will say for the record, you have to be pretty savvy to get everything. I got 85% of it, but there's that 15% that if you're not really in the lifestyle, as it were, you just feel a little left out. You just wish you were a little geekier mm-hmm. and a little smarter. Makes you strive.
We did a segment in the last show that was like a sports report, but the sports report was about the Magic the Gathering tournament, the upcoming one. Audience, for the most part, was just silent.
See, now, magic, I would appreciate.
That's when you're doing the show for you.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And having done stand-up, who hasn't done a lot of shows just for themselves?
Yeah. You try and do 60-40 them for you.
A little bit, like, one for me, one for you.
Mm-hmm.
Two for me, one for you.
Aww.
Yeah, one of my new jokes that I haven't actually tried out yet is I wrote a great new joke to get it today. I can't wait to tell it to a bunch of strangers so that they can look at me silently.
Aww. What?
It's true.
It is.
Yeah. I mean, what was it? We did a we were doing the last show, we did a Paranormal Activity kind of rip where Mikaela, my fiance, was convinced that we had a ghost in our apartment, so she was filming stuff.
Okay.
And yeah, it's just, it's flat. If people haven't seen Paranormal Activity and they don't know that there's a fan in the third movie that records stuff.
Oh, okay.
We have footage of a ceiling fan just spinning, and so nobody would get that the joke is about the fan, but yeah.
Larry, see, I like that. I kind of appreciate that. People have to work for it a little.
Larry loves Paranormal Activity. He listed that as one of his favorite, when we did our Halloween show, that was one of his favorite Halloween scary movies.
Oh, yeah, that was one of the first movies me and my fiance saw. As it terrified us. The second one, first one, I laughed too much, and she got real mad at me because she was like trying to hold me, and I was laughing the whole time.
It makes it difficult. It does.
Yeah. Way to ruin the snuggle moments.
I know. I totally messed up.
Yeah.
So you mentioned your fiance. You recently got engaged.
Mm-hmm.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
And you popped the question where?
I popped the question in Disneyland.
So perfect.
More specifically, the Court of Angels in New Orleans Square.
Okay, cool. So let me ask you this, and stop me if this is a little too personal. Nick, you popped the question on the gay weekend at Disney. Did you do it to rub it in the faces of all the homosexuals there who could not, in fact, get married in the state?
I was so worried about that. I was like, I'm going to propose, and it's going to be one of those things like, haha, look at all the stuff you can't do.
Yeah.
Boom. But no, it was when I went to propose, my fiance's sister's partner had told there was a gay couple on the stairs where I was going to propose, and they were like, you guys need to move because he's going to propose.
There's some straighties doing only straight people
and
stuff.
And the couple was just like, oh my God. And they got up and they ran off. But I felt so bad. Like I was rubbing it in every gay person's face the whole weekend.
But you're not. You would support them being able to do the exact same thing. It's not like
exactly.
So
I think the message here is to all the gay people out there. It's not all about you. Okay, settle down.
Sometimes it's about Mikaela.
Yeah, sometimes exactly. It's about other people. Not everything that people does is an affront, and that's not just for gay. That let that be a lesson to everybody that can hear my voice right now. Just because somebody else is doing something that you can't do or you don't happen to like, it's not an insult toward you and your person and your family from generations ago. Let it go.
Yeah.
Just let it go. Yeah. It's okay. All right. Speaking of letting it go.
And congratulations, and I have put in my bid for Flower Girl. I'm just going to go ahead and reiterate that. I make an amazing Flower Girl.
Thank you. Mikaela has noted it, yeah. But I don't know if we're going to use you.
Damn it. I'm going to start a full campaign. It's going to be like Glee.
Glee.
But instead of being class president, Flower Girl, I'm the unicorn.
Oh, so do you have a date yet?
10/11/12.
10/11/12. Nice. So next year.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Which is funny because if I get married, and I have no plans to actually get married, but I want to do it on my birthday, so it'll be 11/12/13.
See, that's good.
2 in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
11/12/13.
At 1400 hours.
1400 hours.
You should do it at 2:15.
Exactly.
At 14:15.
Mm-hmm. And 16 seconds.
Done.
Hit it, preacher. Do it. Go.
We're on a schedule.
We have to hit this or the universe will collapse unto itself. All right. So this in the news, it comes to us from Fresno, which everybody knows is the greatest place on earth. Oh, wait. It's not. A California basketball player has gone on a naked rampage after being cut from a Fresno college team. That's right. He didn't let it go. The Fresno Bee says 21-year-old Leonard Tyrell Young was nude Monday night when he ran through a parking lot near Fresno Pacific University, assaulted two women, tried to steal a police car, and struck an officer and a police dog.
Wow.
That's a full night.
That is a really full night. It makes you wonder, gee, I wonder what he got kicked off the basketball team for.
Well, he was cut. He wasn't kicked off. Mm-hmm. They just said he wasn't good enough to be on the team. And he said, I'll show you.
Or maybe he had a drinking problem.
That could be it. But he was arrested and booked Tuesday for investigation of carjacking, resisting arrest, vandalism, harming a police dog, and being under the influence of a controlled substance. Ooh.
What exactly did the naked man do to the police dog?
He struck the officer and police dog.
I think he tried to steal their car and may have hit them or bumped them with the car. Is how I was sort of.
Okay, I don't know. But either way, you got a naked basketball player. Well, actually, he's better at being a naked guy on a rampage than a basketball player because he was cut.
And you know, all I could think of was the grossness of having a naked person have their junk on your seat when you have to then drive your car and sit where their junk was, which I think is gross.
Mm-hmm. Well, as long as you're wearing pants, it's probably okay.
I don't want their junk on the outside of my pants.
You have juices and stuff that'll permeate and get in the fibers. You can't get that out.
Your juices permeate?
Yeah.
Mine do.
Permeating juices?
Mine tend to, yeah.
And I don't want somebody else's juices in my fibers. Mm-hmm. It's like peanut butter and chocolate in a bad way.
Oh, well, okay.
You've got your juices in my fibers. You've got your fibers in my juices.
This is stupid. I want to talk about vaginas.
All right. We have some new drops this week. Yeah, so the show keeps growing.
La, 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 whatever. La, 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 it doesn't matter. La, 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 oh, well.
It just makes me think of Larry.
It's sort of like the first show when I figured out I could put a soundboard on my phone and we put it on. I sort of played with it a little too much. Anytime I find stuff I like, I'm going to do that a little bit. So anyway, I mentioned people can email our show. Well, you can email questions into a lot of people, and that's one of the things that happens at newspapers. It's an old standby. So we have a question from the UK, from across the pond, if you will. This comes from a lady who says, "My boyfriend sometimes has sex with me when I'm asleep, and I'm not sure if I like that." Mel?
That's not normal.
"I wake up feeling slightly disoriented and weird." I would imagine. I would really imagine you would.
You know, I will wait till you read a little further before I make my comments, because I think the story gets even more interesting when you learn the kind of people these people are.
"I also feel cross that I haven't been allowed to join in the fun. Why should he get the chance to orgasm and I don't?"
Which is a weird way to look at it, but okay.
But I like the fact that she's going that way. She's looking for the bright side on this. She's not going in the direction everybody else is.
Yeah.
"Now, he argues sleepy sex is very special for a guy. It allows him to explore my body and have a completely free reign."
That's called rape.
It is. Exactly.
Rape is very special for guys.
Romantic.
It's sleepy sex is very special. Oh, God. "He says he likes to kiss me all over and simply worship the woman I am before he even begins to get intimate." I'm sorry, this is so stupid.
It's like having sex with someone in a coma.
"What is wrong with people? He insists I should be flattered that I turn him on so much that he can't resist me."
I insist he's a rapist.
"But is he taking advantage and overstepping the mark?"
Yes.
Here's where I would argue no. Because her biggest problem with this is that he's not waking her up for it. She's like, oh.
You know, as we've discussed, I'm pretty open freaking minded. And I think kink and fetish and all of that is great. The thing, though, that makes kink and fetish and bondage and whatever wonderful is that it's two consenting adults. Now, mm-hmm. if she said, "Have sex with me when I'm asleep," that's hot to me as well. Fine. But it doesn't appear she's given consent to this. So that's not an agreed upon kink.
No.
He's taking advantage of her.
How does one sleep through...
Also a good point.
My sex, there's a lot of activity going on. There's a lot of legs up in the air, things like that. I don't know how somebody could sleep through that.
You have your legs up in the air a lot when you have sex?
I do. I do a lot, yeah.
It does make for, you know, that precarious balancing.
Mm-hmm. I did wonder about that. I mean, people are fairly sensitive. Somebody grabs your junk or squeezes a nipple, it seems like you would wake up.
Mm-hmm.
You'd think.
This girl isn't waking up till morning going like, "I feel funny." Which makes me think he's putting like roofies in her bedtime warm milk.
I think that could be it. Continued. "Admittedly, he and I have a really
My boyfriend's name is Andrew Luster.
Open, free relationship. Neither of us likes to be constrained by any rules." What are you knocking over? Are you spilling? Look, I'm trying. No, that wasn't a convincing no.
Elbowed a bunch of stuff off the coffee table.
Oh, so it's just all the pictures of my family, my beloved parents, and everything like that.
I'm sorry.
Whatever. All right, moving on. Neither of us likes to be constrained by any rules or by the usual conventions. If anything, we prefer to do the very opposite of what everyone else expects. Well, there you go. You're already doing it. Sometimes we live together. Sometimes we're apart. I take male and female lovers, whatever I fancy, and so does he. We go to wild orgies, and we stay in bed for a week. Recently, my parents held a big party for their 30th wedding anniversary.
I think this girl really just has something to prove to the world.
They made it clear they expected us to turn up all suited and booted and behave ourselves. My father even went to the whole, it'll break your mother's heart if you let her down routine. It's good to see that that happens in other countries, too.
Oh, yeah.
But we didn't go because we just didn't fancy it.
I didn't fancy going to my mother's party.
That's what
I don't even like her. I wanted to shag all night instead.
That's what we're like. We don't conform. So they're dicks.
Yeah, they're assholes.
They're both a-holes. So,
and which is why this guy feels like this is totally fine behavior. We behave badly across the board. Why should sleeping with you while you're sleeping be any different?
I've accused my boyfriend of being selfish and a bit creepy, and that's not at all like me. Why am I feeling like this? Why is this particular issue getting to me so much when I'm usually relaxed about sex and free love? because sex and free love happens when you're awake.
It implies consent.
Yes.
Right.
Because he's raping you. So Jane says, this is the advice column, Jane, there's a recognized condition, of course there is, called sexsomnia, whereby individuals, usually men, perform intercourse while they're asleep. They've recently been cases of men escaping rape and sexual assault convictions by claiming they suffer from this complaint.
Yeah, I dated a guy. Every time he tried to put it in my butt, he'd claim that. No, I'm just kidding.
Their defense is that they're asleep and they didn't even know that they were touching their victims. So that's the latest on that.
Next time I get into a situation like that, I'm going to say I was sleeping when I cut off his cock.
And threw
I didn't even know I was doing it when I threw it in the disposal.
Fucking Ambien!
Exactly.
It's terrible. Now, Nick, you're a younger fellow.
Yes.
How old a fellow are you?
I am 26 of years.
Oh, great. So Nick's a little younger than you or me or Larry. So
Very barely.
This is your people, Nick.
These are my people?
These are your people.
See, if you were British and super kinky and into free love. We moved on.
We moved on.
I was like, wow.
Yeah, I was still
Mikaela's going like, what the hell? I'm not like that. We always do when I'm awake, I think. Nick.
She's going to be booby-trapping things. Booby-tracking the boobies. Anyway, this has to do with younger people in the workplace. See, now, you might think that when it comes to job offers, that today's hard-up graduates would pick the company that's offering the largest paycheck. But nay, the younger generation places less importance on the size of their salary than maintaining their Facebook addiction. 1 in 3 college graduates said that freedom to use social media sites like Facebook at work was more important to them than their financial compensation. What up with that, Nick? Defend your peeps.
I can't defend that. I will say this, though, is that a lot of work when you get out of college is really super fucking boring. And so the idea is, I'm going to do whatever it takes to get me through this work day. If that involves going on Facebook all day and then at the last minute running my reports, that's what I have to do. I'm not condoning it. I think it's terrible. And I just want to let EDD know, I work for EDD, I would never spend all day on Facebook.
No.
That is not me.
Would you, if you went in for 2 interviews, though, and mm-hmm. one was more money, no free online social media, or less money but pretty open lax policy, would you go for less money if you could be on?
I think it's a total variable situation. It depends on how much less money we're talking and how open and free the workplace is, because I have just gone into a situation now where my boss is one of those in at 8 out at 5 guys who like watches you.
Oh god.
And I hate that. I hate like the structured sense of, like, for me it's, if you get your work done, Don't care when I come in or when I leave or what I'm doing when I'm not doing my work. If I get everything done, let me do it. But no, if I get paid more, I don't care.
Yeah, so
I'll just go in the bathroom like I do at work, you know?
So let's 2 jobs, mm-hmm. and they're both relatively the same. One of them lets you do all the Facebooking you want,
mm-hmm.
but it pays $30,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
The other job says no Facebooking for you during work time, no Facebook, no Twitter. It's all business all the time, but instead of $30,000 a year, it pays 42. Which job do you take?
42.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's the whole thing. And just before, you guys were traveling to come over here. There have been a bunch of people at UC Davis who are all getting together to protest, but they're not protesting at UC Davis. They're all going to go to the Bay Area and protest there.
What?
Is it a part of the Occupy movement?
I think so. It's kind of weird. It's kind of developing, but it's one of those things that sort of popped up today, just like right a couple hours before we started taping the show. But there have been a lot of clearing out of Occupy areas to basically hose out the barn, so to speak. And they're being allowed back in, but they're like, you can't camp here because it basically turns city parks into public sewers is what's been happening. And I'm all down with your right to protest and go, hey, this isn't fair and this isn't right.
It all seems very fuzzy, though, protesting versus homeless camps now out mm-hmm. in the middle of. You know, I walked by in San Francisco and it was like blocks and blocks kind of it was spread out. And it was some of it seemed not quite protesty as much as homelessy.
Well, yeah, and especially the issue is that they give out free food. They have free amenities, a lot of stuff. I mean, it attracts.
Sure.
Right.
Everything. And also, especially in the case of Occupy Oakland, Oakland already has a ridiculous crime rate and everything. There's bound to be something when you put that many people together. With yeah. guns.
And I'm all yeah. for. I mean, it's gotten people talking and it's opening people's eyes and people are understanding what some of these issues are and people are talking about it, which is great. But at the same time, you know, they're investigating sexual assaults, they're investigating drugs, they're making messes, people are getting hurt, people are getting their shit stolen. Mm-hmm. At what point do you have to go like, okay, like people are talking, but I don't think the people in Washington care that I'm sleeping in a tent now for so many weeks.
Well, yeah, I think really what the message is of the Occupy movement so far has been that nobody cares. Like, the government does not care.
No. Yeah. No, it's gotten to a point that's like, well, the other thing is the way that a lot of the protesters have handled things, they've marginalized themselves by their behavior because they do things that allows what they want to be taken seriously to be marginalized.
Well, it's really hard, too, when you're trying to do something like this and there's a core group of people that are really passionate about what they're doing, but you're going to get drug dealers and people selling sex and people stealing stuff in an environment that's so rich to do so. Why mm-hmm. wouldn't you? If I had drugs to sell and had no morals, that's where I'd go to sell weed. You know mm-hmm. everybody wants some.
Oh, yeah. And a bunch of idealistic college kids with their nice iPods in a tent somewhere.
Right?
If I'm of a moral persuasion to steal, of course I'm going to go steal from the rich kids.
Because you know there's no padlocks and alarm systems on that tent.
No, yeah, totally.
I mean, come on. It's easy pickings.
Well, even if there was a padlock on the tent, you could probably just cut your way right
through. You know, that was my point, ass face. I hate you so much.
I love the thought of an alarm tent, though.
And mm-hmm. And the lasers going across. And, you know, and the bottom line is it's hard to say, you know, how can the Occupy people say, like, but that's not one of ours? Like, you can't. Like, it all becomes a big mishmash and jumble of people, and it all reflects upon the movement.
They're just as responsible for the people that are there because of the movement as they are the people who are actually a part of the movement.
Right. So the Occupy thing, it's just gone a little nutty, and I appreciate it, but one of our friends, Carla, who likes to get into that whole thing, mm-hmm. she's not a young student or anything, but, you know, she liked this Occupy Sacramento Facebook page, and one of the things she wrote on the page was, it's getting to be winter, isn't it almost time to take it inside and whatever, you know, and she meant it well. They didn't take it that way, so it was just really, really kind of funny, because I know the motivation that she came from with this whole thing, and to just see them turn on somebody who is so sympathetic to their cause.
Yeah, and such a supporter.
It made it very clear to me that these people could not be reasoned with. Bring the bulldozers.
Yeah.
And the police dogs. And the jackbooted thugs. Jackbooted, you know, I want more jackbooted thugs.
Yeah.
I'm in favor of it. Just saying.
I mean, I don't want anybody to get hurt. I just think it gets to the point where it reminds me of a lot of other things we're seeing in this country. We have a tendency to take things in the wrong direction or too far in any direction. And, you know, we're hurting ourselves sometimes. We're damaging our own property. We're vandalizing our own world. And I don't understand that.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's just right now there's a lot of people that are really angry and they have no idea how to express that anger.
Yeah.
So a lot of them take to these Occupy movements. And that's not, unfortunately, you're just chilling in a park. That's everything you accomplish is just that you're chilling in a park.
Yeah. Let me give you all a piece of advice from when I was a teenager, when I would get really upset and didn't know how to express my anger. I would just go shoot baskets. So everybody could get really good at horse if they would just take that energy.
Wow, this turned into an after-school special.
And instead of sitting around the park for days on end, they hit the other park and just shot some hoops, and then they could build a little bit of community togetherness. That's what I'm saying. I'm an idea guy. They're not all good ideas, but I am an idea guy. That's how I roll. Speaking of ideas, Rick Perry had a great idea, and I'd love to play the clip for you, but some jackhole took it off of YouTube. Nice job, dicks. Rick Perry was at the CNBC debate, and he was going to cut three departments if he became president. He just couldn't remember which ones they were.
Awkward.
It was incredibly awkward. I'm sure if you search for it, you can find it. And I loved how he was looking at... He's standing next to Ron Paul, who's also from Texas, but Rick Perry's this tall, rugged rancher. And Ron Paul looks a little bit like the Hobbit.
Gollum, yeah.
Yeah, he'd a little bit like that. And he's just looking over at him like, if you would give me the knowledge, wise one, I would do anything. And you've got Rick Santorum, and I recognize his voice because he's a douche. Rick Santorum on the other end is like, the EPA? The EPA, is that the one you cut? The EPA? It's like, oh, my God. What a cluster that is.
Awesome.
I just want to know, and I'm registered independent, but I would really like to know from people how exactly you look at the Republican field that's out there this year and take any of them seriously. Any of them. Newt Gingrich is now surging toward the front.
That's so not okay.
And I feel like he's surging towards the front on a policy of, I'm going to shut up and let everyone else burn themselves out.
Yeah, right?
Right. Well, pretty much it. Because it's he seems to be the best. He's the one who's not Mitt Romney, who hasn't said something stupid lately. Mm-hmm. And the really cool, not cool thing, but when CBS had their debate, one of the producers sent out an email, and it was supposed to be an internal email. However, it did not turn into an internal email.
They never do.
They never do. She accidentally sent it to the Michelle Bachmann campaign.
Awesome.
And the crux of the email was that Michelle Bachmann was at a 4%, not approval rating, but 4% popularity. So she wasn't going to be getting a whole lot of questions at the debate.
Oh, because nobody cares, cuckoo crazy lady.
Because they tend to direct the questions at
people we're interested in hearing from, right, that we might vote for or not.
The people that seem to have some sort of chance. I've never seen Rick Santorum answer anything on a debate, and I haven't watched all of them, but the most I heard him say was, it's the EPA, it's the EPA. You dick. Anyway, so it's time once again for our original segment on the show. And Mel, you're going to have to pick up both parts of this because Nick's unfamiliar.
You don't
think
Nick can pick this up on the fly?
Well, I don't know.
All right. I got you.
It's time for our initial segment on the show. And it's called...
Cool.
Hey.
Or Tool.
Whoa. So Cool or Tool.
Normally, Larry would do the Tool part, but yeah. We didn't know if you would know that you were Tool.
No.
So I got you. I got your back.
Well, he's here to help, but he can't pick... No one person can really replace Larry.
He's smarter than the average bear, this Nick Pettigrew feller.
Well, I don't invite idiots in here. Well, except for that one time. I'm just kidding. No, I...
Becca just went...
Becca's like, what? Wait, what? What? And Kareem, who's going to be coming later to record a show... that'll air after Thanksgiving.
I think actually the dumbest person in the room normally when we're recording is me. Yay!
I don't know about that.
I'm a disabled person.
I don't know about that. Sometimes my cat wanders in.
That's true. Zippy's very intelligent.
So, no, he's not. He's dumb as a post.
And skittery.
He's
skittery like a molested chihuahua.
I love... I'm not even going to get into that. My cat is awesome. I love him like you should love a pet. But he is an asshole. That's all I'm saying. All right, so Cool or Tool, let's start with Rick Perry for admitting, because then when he couldn't think of the thing that he wanted to cut, he went, oops. Oops.
I love that.
So Rick Perry for admitting that he didn't realize what he would cut if he were president. Mel.
I'm going to go. See, you always, when you angle the question like that, then I get kind of on the fence, but I think I just have to go Tool, because if you don't know what you stand for, you don't deserve to be speaking. You're a dummy. That means someone's feeding you your shit. So if you don't know and you're not passionate about it enough to know it right off the top of your head, you're a Tool.
Nick, Cool or Tool?
Tool. Because just basically, I would forget something like that, but I'm not running for president. Like, that's...
But you know, at the same time, no, you wouldn't, because if I asked you anything about a critical hit show, you are so passionate about that, you would know, and you would be able to pull stuff up, even if you needed a second to be like, wait, which show was that? What did we do during that show? You would be able to pull that shit up, because that's something you're into and you're passionate about and you care about. He should be passionate about his freaking platform.
The things he's going to get rid of.
Fuck.
Yeah.
You know those things that you're going to eliminate and fire a bunch of people and screw up the country a great deal? Those things, you should be familiar with those.
Right.
One of them is, and I forget which department it is, and why the hell should I know? He doesn't. It's one of the things that they handle is copyrights and patents. So if you were applied to copyright for like intellectual properties, there would be no place to go do that anymore. Mm-hmm. So basically anybody could steal your stuff. So it's like the internet. Rick Perry, you know what? I'm going to go the other way on this and go, I found it refreshingly honest that he just went, you know what? Oops. I know he got a lot of flack for it. And yeah, he could have sat there and fudged it and done what a lot of people would have done, like Herman Cain did today when somebody asked him about Libya and he had to take a full minute to figure out what it was. You know... And a lot of people said that this is a humanizing moment for Rick Perry. It is, but, you know, I'm going to give him a little bit of credit for what he did, and it's great that it's humanizing, but he apparently is friends with George W. Bush, and when they hang out together, George W. Bush is known as the smart one. So make of that what you will.
I can only imagine their conversations.
It's a lot about chopping wood, I think.
Yeah.
I would imagine it's like, hey, do you remember that time we did that thing?
Want a beer?
School or Tool, number two. People who think Facebook is more important than making the green
poor. I mean, Tool.
Yeah, definitely Tools.
Yeah, I tried as hard as I could to find a way to make this cool. I mean, I suppose it's cool in a hipster sort of way.
I mean, I love my Facebook, and I would have a hard time getting through the day, but there was a period of time where I didn't have access, and you know what I did? I read books and stuff, because I have a downtime at work, and I get it. It's boring, and you want to fill your time, but it's more important to make a living and be responsible, and I would not sacrifice my income and paying my bills so I could be on Facebook. That's stupid.
Yeah. Did you go?
Tools.
I'm sorry. I lost track of things for a moment. Forgive me.
It's because I was rambling.
That will happen, as we all know. So you say Tool. I have to go with that. I mean, there's like I said. I'm sure there's hipster cred to it, and I suppose if your whole thing is, look, I'm going to default on my student loans anyway. So what does it really matter? I might as well keep up what my BFFs are doing and whatevs, OMG. By the way, the 17th of November, Jimmy Kimmel is pushing this as the second annual National Unfriend Day on Facebook, which is kind of funny because he does this. He did it last year. He's doing it this year. His staff finds these people who are both inane and haven't made their Facebook wall private. So they're idiots, too. And he just reads out their status updates for the day.
Wow, that's awesome.
And this happened last year. It happened again this year. He highlights how stupid they are. And then he checks back in a couple days later. And invariably, they increase the number of friends they have by like 50% in a couple of days.
Awesome.
Because of that. He was on Jimmy Kimmel Live. He must be awesome. But all this guy did was go to the gym, watch movies, play video games, and at the end of every sentence was YOLO, which not the county. There was something. Oh, you only live once is what it stands for. People were asking, that was like an asked question on like, what the f- does that mean? You only live once. And the other thing he ended every sentence with was haha. Going to the gym. Haha. So, and I don't picture him as the jaunty intellectual going, I'm going to the gym, ha ha.
You only live once, so I'm just going to spend this life going to the gym, playing video games, and watching TV.
And commenting on it on Facebook.
YOLO. Ha-ha.
YOLO.
Larry's missing YOLO.
Although I think that's probably for the best for all of us.
No, well, I think
because YOLO would become his new favorite thing.
I think he's YOLOing all over Europe soon. All right, so the last one in Cooler Tool is the guy who convinced his girlfriend that sleepy sex is special for a guy. Let's start with Nick this time. Mel, I'm going to let you percolate.
I so badly want to call him a tool, but there's a certain part that he has convinced her that this is a special thing. Makes me want to say he's kind of cool for getting away with this.
Now we go to Mel. See, this is why I didn't want to poison the well with your venom.
Damn you, Nick Pettigrew. I was actually going to sort of say something similar. I mean, yeah, there's a small aspect of cool in the fact that this guy is so fucking smooth that he's got her doubting the fact that he is raping her on a regular basis. The guy, however, because of who I am and what I believe, I have to say he's a tool for what he's doing because what he's doing is wrong. But he gets a small smidgen, a dollop of cool points for being clever enough to have this girl doubting that what he's doing to her is so wrong and inappropriate.
All right. If there are any ladies listening to the show right now, especially younger ladies, and there probably aren't. But anyway, if there are, let me put this out to you. Guys lie a lot. I don't, of course. But most guys lie a lot. And they'll tell you lies like, sleepy sex is special sex. And if it sounds creepy or like something...
Guys will say anything to get into your pants.
Baby, you're at your most beautiful when you're just laying there and your eyes are closed. I have to take you.
I don't want to ruin the moment with words. You know?
Oh, honey, that's so sweet.
I know. It's one of the... I mean, you're not... Well, in the 70s, all you had to say was, you're not uptight, are you? And then that was the okay. Right. No, of course I'm not uptight. Mm-mm. No. Not uptight at all. The guy is a tool. I will give him points for having stones of brass for trying to pull that off, but eventually she's going to break up with this guy. He's going to try it on somebody else, and there's going to be bad, bad things that will happen to him.
Well, and I wonder if someday I don't know her. Maybe she is as free love and out as great as she says, but I wonder sometimes if women, especially ones that have to write letters to prove how free love they are, if he's not only having sleepy sex with her, but he's like, right, we'll have an open relationship and I'll go sleep with some other girls and you can go sleep with some other people too. It'll be awesome. We're so free love, baby. And in other words, he's fucking around and she's a ding dong.
Well, I have another word for it. It's called confused. It's called very, very confused.
Yeah.
And we've had this conversation before because Larry's gay and we've had the conversation about gay versus straight. But
I'm not saying I'm not against open relationships or polyamory. I'm saying this girl may not get what the hell she's doing.
No, she's just trying to not be uptight. I'm pretty sure that's the situation. So,
yeah.
Hey,
he's almost convinced her she has something to prove. Like, look, you're really shoving it to your parents. Go sleep with somebody. Let me do you in the butt. It'll tell your parents what for.
Oh, that is true, by the way. That is it's absolutely true.
The first time I had anal sex, I ran to my parents and I was like, do you know what I did?
I went to her parents. I was like, do you know? I owned that.
Oh my God, I'm uncomfortable.
You didn't think we were going there.
No, I didn't expect it from either of you.
Well, that's what you get. Well, you take Larry out of the room and all of a sudden
Nick got like this rabidly intense look on his face and his eyes flashed and I own that. Yeah. Wow.
This is stupid. I want to talk about vaginas.
Yeah. Little testosterone in the room that you weren't expecting, Mel.
Right?
You don't normally get that.
No.
All right, moving on. Time Magazine is looking for people to vote for their person of the year. Bless you.
Thank you.
And
I sneezed all over myself.
Well, better all over you than me.
Oh.
So I'm going to talk. We want to talk a little bit about the least popular people so far in the poll. For I don't know how it get least popular. Do you like vote for I love this and I hate this? The least popular person of the year candidate is the 1%. And I was thinking they'd do very well, but apparently they're not doing well in polling because there's only 1% of them. However, they were able to edge out Casey Anthony, who allegedly killed her own daughter.
See, and that, I don't get why people that are bad influenced, bad humans. Like, who's the, oh, I'm just going to make myself look so stupid.
No, you won't.
The Italian president.
Prime Minister.
Prime Minister. So
Berlusconi?
Yeah, that's the guy.
Again, I mean, is he on the list? Because, again, he's just kind of douchebagged it up this year. And
he is. He's number,
I don't understand why
he's number eight on least popular. He's right between Anonymous and Eric Cantor.
Fascinating to me. It's fascinating that we would even give these people this, because it bugs me that people get the airtime, as it were, that they get the print space if they're bad humans.
Here's the interesting part. There are a lot of people that show up on both lists and very high up. For instance, the 99%, which right now is leading for Person of the Year, is at number six on the least popular list. So there's only five people that are less popular than the one that's going to win. So here's the least popular list from 1 through 10. The 1%, then Casey Anthony, Michelle Bachmann, who's only guilty of being crazy and running for president, I think. Kim Kardashian is moving up the list. She's at number 4 now. I wonder how she did that.
That makes me angry.
That Kim Kardashian is one of the least popular?
That Kim Kardashian is even mentioned on the list.
That she's, oh, because your argument is the opposite of love isn't hate, it's apathy?
Yes.
Okay. Thanks for interrupting me for that.
You're welcome.
Herman Cain follows that, then the 99%. The hacker group Anonymous is number 7. Silvio Berlusconi is number 8. Eric Cantor, who's a little weaselly dick, is number 9. And number 10 on least popular is Steve Jobs.
I'm sorry.
Yeah,
what?
Exactly.
Least popular?
Least popular. And number 11 is Kate Middleton, who apparently the only thing she did to be unpopular was marry a prince.
That bitch.
I know. So you go to the other way. So Steve Jobs is the 10th least popular person. He's also the 5th most popular person. I don't know how this works.
This list is very confusing.
I am so fucking... This is more confusing than how Adam Sandler gets to keep making movies. I really don't know what's going on here.
It's terrible.
$26 million this past weekend for Jack and Jill. It got a 3% rating on Rotten Tomatoes, and there were two good reviews for the movie. And I'm making air quotes for good, because one of the good reviews, the blurb that they pulled away from it was, the premise gets really tiring after a while, but then Al Pacino comes in. I'm like, really? That's okay. That's the good review.
He's one of my favorite Jews.
Well, you might want to think about getting another Jew to put up there. Because he's also responsible for Bucky Larson.
Oh, Born to be a Star.
I didn't even understand that. Like, well, I didn't even understand what that was.
It was the first movie in the history of Rotten Tomatoes to get a 0% rating. Meaning there was not a single positive review. Not one.
Wow.
So that's Adam Sandler's track record the past couple of months. So nice job, A.S. Yes. So here are the most popular people according to Time Magazine. And you can vote, too, because they don't get up to the end of the year. Number one's the 99%. Go, dirty hippies. Number two is Lionel Messi.
He's a soccer player, right?
I'm
sure.
I'm completely blanking on that.
To the Google.
He's a soccer player.
I only have so many things. I usually have Larry do that on the phone. I only have so many things. That's fine. The Anonymous, the hacker group, is the third most popular. They're another one that shows up on both lists. Arab youth protesters, they're 4th. It's quite a diverse group. Steve Jobs is 5th. Barack Obama is 6th. He also shows up on the least liked. The Fukushima 50.
Yeah.
Which... What is that?
That's the people that stayed to prevent the meltdown. Those are people that risked their lives and stayed behind.
Yeah, I think.
I mean, there was way more than 50. I don't know why they call them that, because it starts with an F and Fukushima 50. It goes and sounds
sense.
Smooth.
Yeah.
There was more than 50 people.
SEAL Team 6 is number 8. You'd think they'd be higher. They killed Bin Laden.
Yeah.
Eventually.
Yeah, I think people don't.
Well, that happened in May. Mm-hmm. I mean, come on. We forget. Gabrielle Giffords is 9. She was shot in the head. I know it's a terrible thing
to be Person of the Year just for being shot is the problem that I
have. Maybe the fact that she went back on the floor and voted and is still trying to do her job. But I'm giving you shit right now. But actually, when I read this list originally, I did the exact same thing, and Paul was playing my part and I was playing your part, because I was like, she got shot. Like, I don't get it. That's like, I get annoyed when Oprah gives people houses for getting off drugs. I've never been on drugs. Give me a fucking house.
Okay. Warren Buffett is number 10 for most popular. Some of the other people.
I get that.
Yeah, the 1% actually comes in at number 16 for most popular. So hang it out there and Kate Middleton right after them. So she's up, but Herman Cain. This is a mishmash of shit. So what I'm saying is Time Magazine, eat a dick. You guys are fucking useless. I mean, there's no way that
was
you
sort
have...
of how I felt about this list.
Yeah, I know it's circular logic and we're just getting around to it. But the more I look at this, the more I just get angry sort of thinking about it. That's kind of where I go with it. But now I need to cleanse my palate. So
la la la, whatever, la la la, it doesn't matter, la la la, oh well.
Okay.
I really enjoy that.
Thanks. Okay, let's move on here. We've talked about that now.
Okay, wait, if you had to vote, who's your person of the year?
My person of the year. That is a tough one.
And I refuse to have this question turned back on me.
Well, you should have an answer if you're the one who sort of came up with it.
Hey, suck it. That's my answer.
I'm not gonna go Steve Jobs because his biggest accomplishment was dying this year. So I know he went one step further than Gabrielle Giffords. Yeah, you laughed. It's terrible humor, but you still laughed. I'm going to have to go with SEAL Team 6. I mean, that's kind of where I'm, you know, I know it's Team America, rah, 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 and all that stuff, but, I remember the joy I felt when I heard the news that Osama bin Laden was dead, and not just joy, but just sheer relief after almost 10 years of wondering if they were ever going to catch him or anything was ever going to happen with him. And so, you know, I'm going with SEAL Team 6.
I like it.
That's a good one. I'm trying to think. I almost want to say Gaddafi. Just...
I can't wait.
Just for the video, that terrible snuff video that's out.
Oh, yes.
Oh, my God. There's the part where the guy takes the knife and shoves it up Gaddafi's ass.
Mm-hmm.
That is going to scar people forever. Definitely person of the year. Probably person of a rest of a lot of people's lives.
Gaddafi for being anally raped by a knife?
Yes, just for having that image burned into people's minds.
Wow.
Yeah, that is a good one. You don't have any thoughts, Mel?
Well, I'm not voting for Gaddafi.
No.
I would maybe go Warren Buffett.
Okay.
I mean, I think he as a 1%er is trying to actually make a difference and help everybody else and open people's eyes and saying, I do take responsibility and I will help and I will do my part. And I do want to be taxed and we should be. And we should be helping the rest of our world.
I accept that answer.
Thanks.
That's a good one. All right, now let's go to something that doesn't really matter. TV.
Yay!
I love TV.
I love TV.
And so we had this up, and, you know, I want to talk about five shows that are on TV right now, not ones that are out of season, but shows that are on TV in a season run right now in the middle of November that are just freaking awesome. I'm going to start with a brand new show. It's on AMC. It's called Hell on Wheels. There's only been two episodes so far.
I haven't seen it, but it looks good.
It is fantastic. It's set in the 1860s. A former Confederate soldier heads out to work on the railroad to seek vengeance upon the people who killed his wife, raped and killed his wife. So you have an angry man who knows how to handle a weapon seeking vengeance. I am all in.
Well, it's nice because it's something that normally that would be the plot for a movie, but instead you get a whole really deep character evolution TV show version of it.
And that's kind of how AMC does their TV shows. So that sort of falls in line with what they do, but that's a new one that's on right now. So that's one. Going with a comedy, this is a CBS comedy. It's new this year. It's called Two Broke Girls.
Yeah.
It's on Monday night. It's actually really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
It stars Kat Dennings and some other girl I've never heard of before. But the cool thing is Garrett Morris from Saturday Night Live in the 70s has a small part on the show, which is just absolutely fantastic. Mm-hmm. And it's two girls work in a diner, and one of the girls is basically it would be like if Bernie Madoff's daughter just escaped with the clothes she was wearing. Goes to a diner in Brooklyn, meets up with this girl. They end up being roommates, and they work at the diner together. And
interesting.
It is. It And it's not just the same trite bullshit that you hear from a lot of sitcoms. It's actually kind of real, for lack of a better term. So that's kind of a cool show. Oh, I just wanted to say the diner owner is this little Asian dude with all sorts of ideas. And don't take this the wrong way, but he sort of reminds me a little of Brian from Kimon Sushi.
Aww.
So if you haven't seen it, if you haven't seen the show, Brian, because Brian listens to the podcast. So if you haven't seen the show, Brian, check it out. And
anybody that watches the show, I'm go to Kimon Sushi and compare.
I don't think he runs around with the same ideas, but yeah, it's a very funny show. So that's two. Three, and this is probably the best show that's on TV right now, Sons of Anarchy is in its fourth season. It's on FX, and they have turned the level of violence and intrigue up to 11. It is,
you know, I watched for a little while when Henry Rollins was around.
It was like season two or three.
Yeah, but, you know, I haven't seen any of these shows that you're mentioning. I feel bad now. I need to get up to speed.
Do you have cable?
I do.
Okay. Well, you might be able to start with Netflix to catch up with them. But yeah. The first two are new this year. So new drama, new comedy. So then Sons of Anarchy is the third one that is on. Dexter.
Love Dexter.
Dexter.
That was how I spent a big portion of my birthday weekend, by the way, was watching Dexter's.
Dexter is a fantastic show. And the one that was just on this past weekend was just crazy. They're bringing back people who've died that talk to him in his sleep. I mean, it's fantastic. And for all of you people who don't own a TV because you love books, read the books. And F you.
Don't ruin anything, though. I'm still on the John Lithgow season. I'm not even done.
Oh, my God. You really do need to catch up. Oh, I'm not going to ruin anything. But they bring back his brother from season one, who is the ice truck killer.
The ice truck killer.
Yes. Dun, dun, so that's the new one that was brought back. And the last one, it's an HBO show. It's Boardwalk Empire.
With Steve Buscemi, right?
Steve Buscemi.
Buscemi.
Gretchen Mahl?
Gretchen Mahl is
her
in the
breasts are in that?
Yeah. Oh, yes, yes. There's a lot of nudity in the show. There's violence, nudity. You have characters named Nucky and Chalky and Waxy. So, I mean, what more could you want from a show than Nucky, Chalky, and Waxy?
Historical drama, too.
How come Walking Dead isn't on the list?
Because zombies are so fucked out. That's why that's why it's not on my list. Because if you tell me that anything has a zombie in it, I'm done. I don't care.
I love zombies. Zombies and Kung Fu.
Well, good.
Kung Fu Zombies would be an amazing show.
Right?
I am so sick of zombies. I've had an impacted ass full of zombies, to borrow a phrase from Adam Carolla. And I will borrow a phrase. So those are my favorite shows. Mel, what are your favorite shows that are on right now?
I actually, while I was riding back on BART, which is the train from, you know, the public transit from San Francisco, I wrote down some of my favorite shows. And Walking Dead is on my list. Of course, I watch every incarnation of Top Chef.
Of course you do.
I've recently got into a show that's not a new show, but it's sort of new here, or maybe it's just new to me. I don't really know, but it's Canadian. It's called Flashpoint. Love it.
I've never heard of that. What is it?
Yeah, what is it on?
It's basically a special response unit of Canadian police officers. So they're like, you know, military bomb specialists, snipers, whatever, and they do special extractions and stuff. Ooh, I hate you so much. So anyway, that's Flashpoint, and I like it. I like Criminal Minds, but the old Criminal Minds, not the Janine Garofalo, Sleepy Eye Guy Criminal Minds. I like Hoarders. I like Dexter. I like Walking Dead. I love Glee. Have you guys seen United States of Terra?
No, I want to, because Patton Oswalt's been on a couple episodes.
Really, really good. And then, of course, Family Guy, American Dad, and Always Sunny in Philadelphia, because I love all those. Mostly because Paul makes me.
Oh, okay. Nick, what are some of your favorite shows that are on right now?
It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, definitely, right off the bat.
How do you feel about Fat Mac?
I love Fat Mac. It's my favorite. Just the way that he says diabetes cracks me up every time.
Sorry.
No worries. Also, Community, which just broke my heart that they pulled it off. They pulled it off of Thursdays today.
Well, before we get too caught up in what's gonna happen with that, it's weird the way TV networks work. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they'll pull a show off like that and they'll bring it back later. Like 30 Rock is coming back for the second half of the season, and maybe that's something that they're planning to do with shows, is do like shorter runs of shows as opposed to doing longer runs. So I wouldn't necessarily think it's being canceled, but one never knows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that scared me and broke my heart.
No.
Parks and Rec is another great show. I love those shows.
That's Amy Poehler, right?
Yes, Amy Poehler, Aziz Ansari. Great show. Adam Scott is amazing on that, too. Also on NBC, staying there, Whitney is a new show that I really enjoy.
I've heard good things about that.
I like Whitney because I like the boyfriend in Whitney. He's a good foil to the Whitney Cummings character because Whitney otherwise would just be really fucking annoying. But to have that boyfriend character to play against is really nice.
You know what show everybody was saying, you got to watch? So I did and did not like. And now I feel like, you know when everybody says something's really cool and you don't get it, then you feel like such a douche? That's how I feel about The Big Bang Theory.
The Big Bang Theory is kind of a specialized audience. They do very well. They've got a nerd. Well, they've got a nerd following, and a lot of they don't have. And Family Guy's made fun of them before.
They kind of have a nerd following. There's right. a lot of backlash like, there, but yeah.
You know what I think it is? I think it's hipsters who want to be nerds.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not real nerds or real. excuse me. What's the word I'm searching for? My brain's turning off. Not nerds, geeks. That's the term. I wasn't looking for something. The derogatory terms were flying through my head, and I'm like,
it just seemed to me like they're almost trying so hard to force the appeal to that crowd that if you don't like it, then you're not cool and hip and you know. And I just didn't get it.
I liked it a lot when it first came out because they're like, oh my god, there's references for me, jokes for me. But more and more, it just became like, oh look, they're all nerds. They don't know how to talk to girls. And it's like, no, we know how to talk to girls. Some of us have social anxiety and we don't talk to anybody. But we know how to talk to people by and large, and we know how to have intercourse. And
yeah, they're almost turning into caricatures.
Yeah, I called it intercourse, which shows where I'm at. But
right, you had coitus.
He's at the clinical stage,
mm-hmm. And like comic books and things like that are things that I'm interested in and I enjoy. But I'm also a functioning adult.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder if the people that are writing are even get the characters they're writing, or if they're just using these sort of stereotypes. Because mm-hmm. I don't get it.
My favorite thing, there was a clip of them, I don't know, it was at a comic book convention, and Kaylee Cuoco, the blonde girl on the show, didn't know who Doctor Who was, didn't know what a TARDIS was, and so she was like, what's a TARDIS? And the audience just boos. There's so much sudden hate on her.
Well, see, that I get. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah, if you're going, see, that's the thing, is everybody is so trying to target the Comic-Con crowd.
Mm-hmm. It's disposable incomes.
You can't roll into anything like that and not know what you're talking about, because you will be exposed. And I blame mm-hmm. the producers for rolling her in there. And full disclosure, one of my former interns actually works for Chuck Lorre. So,
oh, wow.
So I'm sure she's not listening to the show. If you are, hi, Mackenzie. But hey, you know, who's to argue with Chuck Lorre? I mean, dude has Big Bang Theory, 2 and a Half Men, and Mike and Molly. They're not really funny, but they're fat and they say awkward things. So
I like Melissa McCarthy. I mean, I don't like the show that much. I've watched it. Miaela likes it, but I don't care for it. But I like Melissa McCarthy.
Sure. Yeah, I like her too, yeah. But I don't care for the show.
No.
Well,
I don't watch a lot of sitcoms in general, though, so that may be part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Nick, I knew you were coming, and I know that you're a bit of a geek. So I, in addition to preparing some certain things, I went on Spotify, which is an awesome thing.
Okay.
And I found a few songs, and this one I wanted to play just for you. So
I got that nerd rage, nerd rage. I got that nerd rage.
Okay, that's the best part of the song. So yeah. I just wanted, it's a band called Your Favorite Martian, for anybody who didn't know. That's why I love Spotify. I'm like searching for stuff. Wait till you hear what I play for Kareem when he comes in. Oh my God, he's going to punch me.
Uh-oh.
No, I'm just kidding. I have the theme from Shaft. What could possibly go wrong? Just kidding. Anyway, so respect with that. No, I went on a rant on a much earlier episode about nerd rage, which was not directed at you,
mm-hmm.
but it was sort of inspired by something.
I defended your honor, by the way.
Did. I remember. I heard that episode, actually, yeah.
She did, and my whole thing with that, and I'm not going to go into the whole thing again, but it's mm-hmm. just like, I just try to ignore stupid people because because it's just way just putting energy into it just sort of frustrates me. So it gives them that reason for being. So because I went on the rant like that, I wanted to talk to you face to face because that's the way we roll. And it wasn't directed at you.
Mm-hmm.
It was just inspired by something that you did. And a lot of people can't separate that.
Was it when I said something about the lockout or the football, the draft? Oh, God damn it!
It was this chick at about internet dating.
Oh, right. The Magic the Gathering guy.
Yes, yeah. That's it. She was dating the world champion of Magic the Gathering, and there was a lot of nerd rage in that.
Yeah.
And it was there's a lot of nerd rage going on about a lot of things, and you're not somebody who normally engages in that, but something that you posted on Facebook sort of sparked me on a rant. But anything can do that, as we found out last week when we were doing the story about the Russian guy who's digging up bodies to keep in his house, and then we found out that he was an author, and I went on a rant about people who like books, and let me just say this. I'm not against reading. Reading is okay, but don't tell me I don't own a TV because there's nothing worth having on TV and books are awesome. There is a middle ground to it all. We can read. We can watch TV. We can all live together in perfect harmony. So get a TV and figure out what's going on, people. Anyway, wrapping up as we always do. It's time for
small town news. Small town news. Everybody loves our small town news.
Oh, Nick's got his hands up.
I'm excited about this one.
Oh, small town news.
I've been working on a song. So,
well, you know what? I should have some music behind this. Hold on. Let me pull something up here. That's
is going to be the theme from Deliverance.
It's not going to be the theme. This is where I'm from, Mel. I'm not doing that.
So the theme from Deliverance.
No. It's Vermont, not the South. Don't be that way. That's a different list. That's for the other show. Hold on.
Come on.
I know.
Small town news. Everybody loves small town news.
All right. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to throw some dead puppies underneath this here.
Okay. Much fun.
So the headline of this article for small town news, it comes to us from Newport City. Police shooter misses buddy. It's written by Jennifer Hersey Cleveland. The vandal arrested for shooting BBs into two windows at Newport Natural Market and Cafe told police he was trying to shoot his buddy when the shots went out his window.
Awesome.
I wasn't trying to shoot the window, officer. I was trying to shoot my buddy.
And that makes it a-okie dokie.
Sure. Newport City Police Officer Aaron LaFave said Monday that Andrew Foran, 19, who lives on Main Street directly across from the cafe and natural food store, was cited for misdemeanor counts of reckless endangerment, unlawful mischief, and possession of marijuana shortly after the incident on Sunday afternoon. You'd think people would be more careful with the safety with the safety of other people, said the guy who owns and operates the cafe and store.
Okay, that's a stupid quote. I'm sorry. Because people are retarded and you know this.
You'd
think people wouldn't steal from other people or kill people. That's wrong.
Well, you got to be careful with stuff.
You'd think people wouldn't shake their babies. Who would do such a thing?
All right. Well, apparently customers that were dining at the establishment got quite a shock in the form of a shot to the large window near where they were seated. Upon further inspection, they found a smaller window had been shattered by the BBs. So it wasn't a real gun. It was a BB gun.
It was a BB assault. Get over it.
The customers were, and I quote, amazingly composed about the whole deal. Luckily, no one was injured.
I wish they would have had a stampede.
Through a knock-and-talk investigation. Mel, what's a knock-and-talk investigation for people not...
That means you're just going door-to-door looking for leads to see if anybody saw or heard anything.
Police ran into the alleged shooter who said the accident, and that's in quotes, was the result of him, quote, fooling around inside the house. Instead of shooting his friend with BBs as he intended, the shots went out in the open window of the second floor apartment. Now, during the investigation in the apartment, police found a 2-foot-tall marijuana plant.
Of course they did.
Someone other than that guy who hasn't been charged claimed ownership of the plant. Look, I didn't shoot the BB gun, but that is in fact my marijuana plant. Less than 2 ounces of marijuana was found on his person. Now, the guy who owns the store was clearly upset. He said, the block across the street is a continuous problem for the city. Tenants are not properly screened, and because problems with upstairs tenants, people aren't willing to lease the commercial space below. Yeah, you don't want any weed people with BB guns hanging out above your establishment.
It's small town Skid Row.
It is. Now, what this young 19-year-old did was absolutely dangerous, the cops said. He's already addressed the situation, and he said he works to resolve the problems such as this quickly. However, sometimes a landlord's hands are tied by the laws and the courts. I'd love to evict him, you know, but laws, courts, things like that. Nothing I can do. It's a terrible
stupid
thing.
Stupid America.
Stupid America and their laws. So, yeah.
You'd be amazed, by the way, how many cases we get every summer of people doing this here in Sacramento, shooting random people by accident because they miss their friends with the BB guns.
Well, and not only that, but with real guns, too, which is the more disturbing part.
Usually
of the
they're
whole
not
thing.
Shooting at their friends with the real guns.
Nah, well, every now and then it happens.
But we get tons of, like, we were in the backyard screwing around. I went to shoot Bobby with a BB gun. Then I hit this poor girl across the street in the face. Whoops.
Of course you did. That's how it goes. So that's small town news.
Small town news, small town news. Everybody loves us, small town news.
And we'd like to thank Nick Pettigrew for sitting in for Larry this week.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Appreciate it. Thank you, Mel, for coming in.
Always my pleasure. Thank you.
And we'd like to remind you that we've already recorded a Thanksgiving special with Larry before he boarded a big old jet plane for Spain. That'll be, we're going to actually post that a little bit early next week because Thanksgiving is a travel holiday. So I will post that show and it will be available on Monday of next week. So we're going to get it up a little bit earlier.
So you can listen to it on the road.
You can listen to it on the road or, God forbid, if you have to spend Thanksgiving by yourself somewhere because, you know, that may happen. Or if you live somewhere where Thanksgiving is meaningless to you, you can learn about Thanksgiving and various other things too. Larry went on a couple of tangents about stuff that I don't quite recall, but I think they were gay in nature, and it's a pretty safe assumption. I don't think I yelled about anything, but yeah, like our favorite Thanksgiving foods, our favorite Thanksgiving traditions. Oh, and you can hear the story. This is my favorite, the story of my Thanksgiving with Ankle Monitor Mike.
Ankle Monitor Mike, that's right.
The Ankle Monitor Mike story, so you can't beat that, and that will be on the show next week. So thank you very much for listening. Remember to tell your friends about us if you like the show. We would love for more people to be listening and hanging out with us. So that's what we do.
I love this song.
I know, Mick, I thought of you.
I'm a fan.
I prepare for the people who come in because that's what I do. Anyway, you can like us on Facebook. You can write us a review on iTunes. Tell your friends. Tell your neighbors. Play us loud in your car. Blast down the people that are blasting Jay-Z. We're going to leave it with a little Weird Al, because that's just how we roll.
Here at MIT, got skills, I'm a champion of D&D. MC Escher, that's my favorite MC. Keep your 40 out, just have an Earl Grey tea. My rims never spin, to the contrary. You'll find that they're quite stationary. All of my action figures are cherry. Stephen Hawking's in my library. My MySpace page is all totally pimped out. Got people begging for my top 8 spaces. Yo, I know pie to 1,000 places. Ain't got no grills, but I still wear braces. I order all of my sandwiches with mayonnaise. I'm a whiz, a minesweeper, I can play for days. Once you see my sweet moves, you're going to stay amazed. My fingers moving so fast, I set the place ablaze. Killer rap, I haven't run. At Pascal, well, I'm number one. Do vector calculus just for fun. I ain't got a gap, but I got a soldering gun. Happy Days is my favorite theme song. I could sure kick your butt in a game of ping pong. I'll ace any trivia quiz you bring on. I'm fluent in JavaScript as well as Klingon. Here's the part I sing on.
You see me roll on my Segway. I know in my heart they think I'm wide and nerdy.
Think I'm just too wide and nerdy.
Think I'm just too wide and nerdy.
Can't you see I'm wide and nerdy?
Look at me, I'm wide and nerdy. I like to roll with gangsters, although it's apparent I'm too wide and nerdy.
Think I'm just too wide and nerdy.
Think I'm just too wide and nerdy.
I'm just too wide and nerdy.
How'd I get so wide and nerdy?
I've been browsing, inspecting X-Men comics, you know I collect them. The pens in my pocket, I must protect them. My ergonomic keyboard never leaves me bored. Shopping online for deals on some writable media. I edit Wikipedia. I memorize Holy Grail really well. I can recite it right now and have you ROTFLOL. I got a business doing websites. While friends need some code, who do they call? I do HTML for them all. Even made a homepage for my doll. Yo, I got myself a fanny pack. They were having a sale down at the Gap. Spend my nights with a roll of bubble wrap. Pop, pop, hope no one sees me getting freaky.
I'm nerdy in the extreme and whiter than sour cream.
I was in AV club and glee club and even the chess team. Only question I ever thought was hard. What, do I like Kirk or do I like Picard?
Spend every weekend at the Renaissance Fair. Got my name on my underwear. They see me strolling, they laughing and rolling their eyes cause I'm so wide and nerdy.
Just because I'm wide and nerdy.
Just because I'm wide and nerdy.
All because I'm wide and nerdy.
Holy cow, I'm wide and nerdy. I wanna bowl with
white and nerdy. I think I'm just too white and nerdy.